Revelation 2, verses 8 through to 11. You read these words, "Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." It is especially verse 10. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." A window on suffering is what we have in this portion of Scripture that we read, and especially in our text, verse 10. A window on suffering. The key word when looking at the church in Smyrna is the word suffer. Thou shalt suffer, the Lord Jesus tells the church of Smyrna. And it's not going to suffer as a result of sin, because it's a good church. It's a highly commended church. Though materially poor, it is very rich spiritually. Verse 9, "I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich." If it has a fault identifiable from the text, it is that it may have a potential to fear, because the Lord says, "Fear not." And that's perhaps the only fault, really, that we could find in this church. And that's an understandable fault, because it's a human weakness. Whenever you consider what they are going through and are going to have to go through, so we can understand their fear. So it's a highly commended church. There are people in tribulation. And the whole letter of our Lord to them, it breathes the atmosphere of trouble. Take verse 8. The Lord identifies himself in verse 8 as him which was dead and is alive. Now, why is he telling them that? Because he suffered. He died. He knows what it's like to suffer and to die. Was dead. And this is a church that's going to suffer, and some are even going to die. And so he's telling them that. He's reminding them that he suffered. And then in verse 9, he tells them he knows their tribulation. He knows their poverty. And poverty has hardship and brings suffering. So it has a whole atmosphere of suffering. And then in verse 11, he speaks about the future reward in glory, when they will not be hurt anymore. He uses the word hurt. So all this terrible suffering is hinted at. Dead, death, tribulation, poverty, suffer, hurt. Those are the words. I just picked them out. And they all breathe the atmosphere of suffering. So this is a suffering church, and it's going to suffer even more. But especially in our text, the Lord Jesus is giving us a window on suffering. That's what the Lord's giving Smyrna. He's giving them a little glimpse through the window of suffering, to give them light on the matter and to help them through it when it comes. And so our text is, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He's showing them the window. He's giving them a window on suffering. Behold, thou shalt be cast into the prison by the devil and shall be tried, and 10 days it'll last, and then be faithful unto death. And so he's giving them that little window. It's a kind word of our Lord Jesus. It's a kind word from a tender shepherd. The Lord Jesus is so loving and thoughtful to provide them this in the face of their coming storm. And I want to look with you at this window of suffering. And I think the Lord has some things to teach us from it as we look through it. The first thing is that the Lord Jesus just plainly and simply tells this church the truth. The Lord Jesus tells them plainly, firmly, but gently, thou shalt suffer. You see, men and women, the Lord Jesus always deals plainly with us. He tells us the way it is. He tells us the truth. He doesn't hide the truth from us. Maybe whenever it's not even something we want to hear. Who wants to hear this? You're going to suffer. But the Lord Jesus is open and frank with his people. He tells them the truth. Smyrna is going to suffer, and he tells them so. He's not like a physician who hides the bad news. It does us no good to be in the dark, even about suffering and trials. Now, whenever the Lord was with the apostles, it was the same thing, wasn't it? That he gave this negative revelation. He didn't tell them it'll all be rosy and a bed of flowers, it'll be wonderful. No, he always gave them this negative revelation. In the world ye shall have tribulation. He's plain. He's frank. He said to his apostles on a number of occasions, he says that they shall lay their hands on you, the world. They shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons. He told them what they would face. You'll be brought even before kings for my sake. That's the Lord told them that. He said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. The Lord was always frank with his apostles. And it's no different with the churches. And it's no different with us, brethren and sisters, as well. He tells us the truth, even perhaps when it's not wanting to hear it. Now, the Lord doesn't give us all the awful and terrible details of our sufferings. It doesn't do us to know everything before the time. And so that would be too much to bear to give us all the details and all the descriptions of our sufferings, our future sufferings, in all their gory details. He doesn't do that. That wouldn't be beneficial. But it is kindness of him to somewhat forewarn us and prepare us for it. And the Lord Jesus is always telling his people, you're going to suffer. Thou shalt suffer. And the Lord tells us this. And you know, men and women, it's not only true of Smyrna, it's true of us all. Every one of us. The Lord comes along and says, thou shalt suffer. Thou shalt suffer. At some time, thou shalt suffer. At some time, you'll have a bed of sickness. At some time, you'll have a terrible accident. At some time, you'll get bad news. At some time, you'll be persecuted. Thou shalt suffer. The Lord promises us this, And he tells us this. He doesn't go into all the gory details of our own personal sufferings, but he does forewarn us, and it's a kindness to forewarn us, that we must suffer. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. So that's the first thing he's just playing. He doesn't brush it under the carpet and delude us, but he warns us in kindness, so that we'll know to be prepared, so that we'll know to be using the time whenever we're not suffering to lay up and store the grace for when we will suffer. But the second thing is that the Lord Jesus knows all about what is coming upon us. You see how he says it here? He says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. You'll have tribulation 10 days. You see, to just say thou shalt suffer isn't that difficult to predict. In a sense, that's just common sense. Thou shalt suffer. You don't have to be a prophet to say thou shalt suffer. We're born unto suffering and trouble. You only have to know your Bible. You only have to know the nature of this present world. You only have to know human history and your own experience in life to know you can't escape suffering. Thou shalt suffer. So that's not a great grand revelation, really. Any decent Bible student could say that. Any preacher who's in the pulpits of Smyrna and who knows his Bible can come along to the congregation, just like I do to you sometimes, and say, you know, we're all going to have to suffer. We're getting older. We're born under trouble and sorrow as the sparks fly upward. So thou shalt suffer isn't really a great revelation. But you see, the Lord doesn't just speak like a Bible teacher or a Bible student or an ordinary believer who just knows we're born unto suffering. He is specific. The Lord knows the very details of the sufferings that they're going to bear. He can tell them it in detail. He knows how near it is. He knows who's going to have his hand in it. He knows what it's going to entail going into prison. He knows how long it'll last, 10 days. He knows every detail about it, and a lot more that he's not telling them. So this is more than just an ordinary preacher coming along and knowing his Bible and saying, we're all going to suffer. No, no, the Lord knows our sufferings in all their intimate detail. He knows. This is good that he knows. He knows what we bear. He knows how much we can take. He knows, and we know that he knows because he's the Lord. He's God, and he knows all things. And that must have been a great comfort to Smyrna. Whenever the storm hit, and they're all being shipped off to the prison, and that it did last a certain length of time, it must have been of great comfort to them that the Lord got it all right, that their Lord knows. They were going to the prison with this text. Our Lord has forewarned us about this. He knows. He knew. And that must have been a great comfort to them, so that they could bear their sufferings and go through and endure the tribulation, knowing that the Lord knew all about it. And that is true of our sufferings too, brethren and sisters. Just as true. Now, he mightn't give us a text, but we know that he often equips us for a coming trial through providence and through the different messages and the words that he gives us. Sometimes we nearly get afraid. Oh, there's something coming. You know that this is too. The Lord is being too good to me. He's being too close to me. He's given me so much scripture. There's something coming. And we know that too, don't we? Because he knows. He knows when to write us a letter. He knows when to give us the text. He knows when to bring that sermon to our attention. He knows that's the very one that we need, not only for today, but for what's coming next week. Thou shalt suffer. He knows. How does he know? Has he a crystal ball? Does he just see into the future? Is that how he knows? No. That's not how God knows. Sees into the future. No. He knows because he plans the future. That's how he knows. He knows because he controls the future. He knows because he ties a leash around the devil and he gives him 100 feet long a rope or whatever. That's how he knows. He knows because he's reigning and controlling and on sovereign on the throne. That's how he knows. He doesn't sit with a crystal ball sort of trembling, oh, seeing into the future, what's happening? What am I going to do? No, it's not like that. And the people of Smyrna know it's not like that. And when they're shipped off to prison, they're knowing who's on the throne, they're knowing who's the king, they're knowing who's sovereign and who's reigning and who's giving Satan his leash to ship them off to the jails. So our Lord doesn't have a crystal ball. He has a governing scepter. That's what he has. And that's how he knows. Because it's his decrees and his plans. And that's what the book of Revelation is all about. It's not the reign of Satan. All the troubles in the earth and all the plagues coming and all the seals being opened and all the things happening. It's not the reign of Satan. It's not the reign of suffering. It's the reign of the Savior. That's what it is. He opens the seals and everything comes down on the earth from heaven. He's reigning. That's what the book of Revelation's about. He's not just showing us a glimpse of the future. He's telling us he's in control of the future. That's what he's telling us. And so this is going to greatly strengthen Smyrna to suffer. Not just that Jesus knows, but that Jesus is the Lord and he's the sovereign Lord. And he somehow in the mystery of his sovereignty, he is allowing this. He's allowing this. And that comforts them. And brethren and sisters, when you suffer, you have to know the Lord has allowed it. The Lord has ordered it. For whatever reasons, we mightn't always know the reasons. And there could be multiplicity of reasons, but he's ordered it, and he's not ignorant, because it's all in his plan. So that's the second thing. But then the third thing in this window of suffering, which our Lord gives us, is to tell us that Satan often has a hand in our sufferings. He's given us a wee window. And he's saying, the devil, he's letting us see the devil through the window of suffering. He's saying, the devil will cast some of you into prison. That's a window, isn't it? We mightn't have knew that, but the Lord's given us a wee window to see in. In Smyrna, they are needing to know the devil is going to have a hand in their trials. Now that Christ is sovereign and allows things to happen to us does not make us blind to the malice and woe and devices of Satan in our sufferings. Now, while I'm saying he's sovereign in our sufferings, God, they're in his plan, that does not mean that the devil isn't allowed to have a hand in them too. He very definitely does at times. Satan is very often connected with our sufferings. He's never far from a Christian's troubles. You only have to study the early chapters of Job to see that. We do need to be careful, however, whenever we talk about the mystery of suffering. We need to be careful whenever we pretend to be able to unravel all its mystery. There's much mystery about suffering. And I'm not prepared to tie the devil up in every aspect of suffering. So we have to be very careful. It's a subject that has engaged all the philosophers. the question of suffering from the fall of Adam, and it's still not unravelled, the whole mystery and question of suffering. It's the whole labyrinth, and we can't even begin to enter it, and we're not even going to try to enter it tonight. The whole subject is a minefield, and some have blown away their intellects and their souls up in trying to go into that minefield of the mystery of suffering. And we're not going to do that tonight. But in this window, the Lord certainly shows us that in some circumstances, at least, there is the devil's hand. The devil will cast you into prison. He'll make you suffer. And so Satan and suffering often go hand in hand. Satan and suffering, however, is not our subject tonight. It's the Saviour and suffering that is our subject this evening. But we must not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And one of his devices is tribulation. One of his devices is persecution. One of his devices is suffering, giving saints by various means a hard time. His tool in Smyrna is violence. While the Lord says the devil will cast you into prison, we all know, of course, that the devil didn't come along and manifest himself and become visible and take them and hail them off to prison. We know that. The devil doesn't work directly on us. He works through people. And people allow themselves to be used by the devil. And it was the authorities who were going to be the ones coming along and cast them into prison. And we believe in the context, probably the Jews were very influential in inclining the authorities to do that. So Satan originates the suffering by using others to afflict the saints. And so Satan uses the ungodly. He can only work through people. You know that, and I know that too. In fact, he can even use professing Christians. In fact, he can even use true Christians. Yes. Get thee behind me, Peter. Satan. Didn't even call him Peter. Called him Satan. But he was talking to Peter. And so you see, by this window, it let in men and women. Don't be in darkness about Satan's hands in your trials. Now, you can study that in our Lord's life, if you want, in more detail. And that's a good study to see how Satan used people in our Lord's life to trouble him. The religious leaders, the Romans, especially Judas, and as I said, even Peter, and sometimes even Satan came directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know. So I'm just saying, in this little light, child of God, in your trials, whatever your trials and suffering are, the devil won't be far away. All right? So don't be ignorant of his devices. The Lord's showing you the window. The devil will have a hand in it. And more than that, I can't say. But you'll just have to work that out in your own mind, whatever your suffering trial is, with the Word of God at hand. But then a fourth thing in this window is the truth that there is a duration on suffering. And the Lord knows a duration, and he fixes the duration. You see, for Christians, suffering isn't forever. Bless the Lord, it's not forever. Even if you have to bear your pains for 40 years, it's not forever. And that's a wonderful thing, and the Lord reminds him of that. He says there in verse 11, "He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." So there's no hurt in the world to come. There's no hurt for the child of God. Yes, he may be in prison. He may even have to die. But after that, there's no suffering. No hurt. No hurt from the second death. And so for the child of God, there is a duration upon the suffering. It isn't forever. And the Lord says in our text, ye shall have tribulation 10 days. 10 days, that's all. There's a fix. There's a duration set upon it. It's not forever. It's only for a season. And very often, the trials and the sufferings that we go through, they're just for a season. Now, it can be a very long season sometimes. It could be a shorter season. But they come to an end. Because the Lord knows what we can take. And the Lord knows what we can bear. There's a time limit. And there's a cap upon it. And that's something we must keep in mind, brethren and sisters, in our sufferings, lest we get overwhelmed. We have to say to ourselves, this will have only a certain duration. It's not forever. It could be for years. I know it could be for years. But it'll end someday. You have to keep that in mind. You just have to grit your teeth and go on and get the grace. But you keep in mind, it has a 10-day limit on it. The duration's set, and I can't go beyond that, and it'll come to an end soon. The Lord wants you to see that. Your sufferings will be over soon enough. They'll end. That's true for Smyrna. 10 days. Now, there's no reason not to take the 10 days literally in Smyrna's own historical situation. We're not just sure. We don't know the history and the outcome. But it may be symbolic for a fixed period of time. 10 is a kind of a fixed period, so that whenever it reaches that fixed period, that time limit in Christ's plan, that perfect mathematical plan of his, it shall end. It shall cease. But whether it's symbolic or whether it's literal doesn't really matter at the end of the day. The truth is, for the people of Smyrna, it'll come to an end. The Lord will bring it to an end. It'll have a close. There'll be a time whenever it's over and it's finished, and you'll be hurt no more. And all the tears will be wiped away, and there'll be no more suffering and no more sorrow. So your sufferings, child of God, have a limit. You're not going to hell. Your suffering as a Christian, your suffering in your faithfulness to Christ, your suffering at the hands of Satan, it's only for a while. You'll not be hurt after death. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. So endure. Continue. Don't despair. Well, while this hurt may last for a time at least, for a time, it may even be on to death. If there's a hint of that, be thou faithful unto death. So there's even a hint that not only will there be prison, but the imprisonment might end at 10 days in death for at least some of them. Thou shalt suffer unto death. If you just take all those words right in between, thou shalt suffer unto death. That's what it says. It may last that long, but a death. You'll not be hurt anymore. Don't fear them who can destroy the body, but after that can do no more, but rather fear him who's able to hurt and destroy body and soul in Gehenna, where there is hurt far more terrible than any hurt on this planet. And so we must often reflect, brethren and sisters, on the temporary nature of our sufferings. That is not to take away how awful they are. It's not to minimize their difficulty. But still, it will end, and we should remember that. And it's a blessing to know that it is not eternal suffering. A fifth thing is, in this window, the Lord shows us his counsel and exhortation in the midst of our sufferings. And so through this window, he sheds light on our duty in our trials. He's not only giving them information. He's not only telling them you're going to go to jail. He's not only going to tell them you're going to die. He's not just giving them information. He's giving them counsel. He's exhorting them through this window. And whenever we suffer as well, whatever our trials, even if they're sickness, and I'm not saying the devil causes sickness, but He'll not be far from attacking your mind in your sickness. He'll certainly have a hand on it somewhere, in your mind part of it, if not in the cancer, the physical aspects of the disease. Though I'm not saying the devil can even cause disease in the body. We feel that can be the case too, in the mind and in the body. But we're not going to blame him for the disease and for the sickness. But he can affect the mind. And that's what he wants to get at. Because the devil wants to bring the Christian down. He wants to bring his testimony down. He wants him to dishonor Jesus Christ. And so he's always going to have a hand in suffering somewhere along the line. And we have to know our duty in suffering. And the Lord makes it plain through this window. And the first thing is, fear not. Don't fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Don't be afraid. Don't be over-alarmed. Don't be disturbed into a state of paralysis. Yes, it's coming. Thou shalt suffer, but don't be afraid. There's help. Don't be afraid, child of God, what you're going to have to go through. There's help. There is. There's grace. Don't be afraid. There's Christ's presence. There's the fact that he's looking through the window and he knows and he's with you all the way. Don't be afraid. He's with you. He's with you in it. Don't be afraid. What's coming upon you? Don't be afraid. As if some strange things happened to you and it's outside his plan and he's left you, no. You'll get help. You'll get his presence. You'll get his promise. You'll have the Christian fellowship. You'll have help from God's word. At that time, it'll come. You'll know. You'll see. Don't be afraid of the things that are coming. You'll get the help. Just trust. So don't be afraid of the approaching troubles. Fear none of those things that are coming upon you. Maybe some of you have a hospital appointment. You have to go through surgery. What does the Lord say? Fear none of those things that are coming upon you. I'll give you the help. I'll be there. Don't fear. Another counsel is to behold. We nearly missed that word behold, didn't we? Despite the warning on Sunday morning. But it's there. It says in the text, behold, the devil shall cast some of you. And so we have to open our eyes and to look and be alert in our sufferings. And we especially have to be alert of the devil and of his devices and how he will assault our mind and bring us down in the trial. We have to behold. Don't be ignorant of his devices. Don't go into your trials with your eyes shut. Behold. The Lord says, keep your eyes open. Keep looking, watching, watching. Behold Satan. Behold Satan. So we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And I know I've spent the whole point in that, but I'll have to bring it in here as part of the Lord's counsel. He says, behold the devil. Whenever you think of suffering, think of Jesus, but also think of Satan's devices. All right? And then the third thing, very important, and lastly, be faithful in your sufferings. Doesn't he say it in the text? In this wee window? In the wee window there he says, you'll be cast into prison, you'll be tried, you'll have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful. Be faithful. When you go into the trial, you go into the sufferings, throughout it, right to the end, just be faithful, even if it means unto death, just be faithful. And that's very necessary. You know, men and women, the most important thing to our Savior about us is our faithfulness. To him, he means faithful to me. On to death. First and foremost, to me. You see, he does not look upon our sufferings, brethren and sisters. He does not look upon our sufferings as an excuse for us to be unfaithful. Your sufferings are not an excuse for you to be bad and naughty. No. They're not an excuse for you to get angry and to get into a rage and a tizzy and to blame everybody else. They're not an excuse to be naughty. The Lord won't accept that as an excuse. He says in your sufferings and your trials, you're going to go into prison, but you make sure you still remain a faithful child of mine. The Lord's expecting our duty, even in our sufferings. It is a trying time, suffering. The Lord's not denying that. That's why he's coming along and saying this, because there's a trying time and there's a temptation, and this is what the devil wants, unfaithfulness, and the Lord's coming along and backing us up and saying, now you be faithful. Brethren and sisters, we cannot falter even in trying times. Such times as our Christianity is tested of what metal it really is. If trials come and we go berserk and we react irrationally and even wickedly, and anger and jealousy and despair and unbelief and impatience manifest themselves, then the devil has won the day. It's easy to stop praying when you're in trials. It's easy to give up going to God's house when you're in trials. It's easy to pack it all in. Just give up. Don't give up. Never give up. Be faithful to your Lord to the end. Unto death, he says. It is so easy to do wrong in suffering. Why do you think Satan uses it as a tool? And then lastly, and very quickly, in this window, the light given to us tells us that there is the hereafter after suffering. The window says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There is the hereafter of suffering. The light, the Lord is just shedding the light on it. He's saying this will lead to something glorious. Yes, I know I'm bringing you through the fire. I know I'm laying a heavy cross upon you. I know I'm putting this scourge upon you, but it'll have a glorious end if you bear it and are faithful in it and through it. Just be faithful in it. Just endure unto the end, and you'll have a glorious crown of life. Now, in the mystery of God's providence, there is a connection between our sufferings now and the glory hereafter, if we're faithful. Now, I can't explain the theology of all of that. Certainly not now at the end of this sermon. But there is a connection. Faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown. Didn't Paul say, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time contrasted with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's a connection. And brethren and sisters, the Lord may bring upon you awful sufferings. Awful sufferings. But it may be because he has planned for you exceeding glory, if you'll bear them manfully and are faithful in them and don't do wrong. And so this is a wee light. And we've just really rushed through this. But I hope it will benefit you if you're in trials now. One thing is true, thou shalt suffer. And when that happens, may this window help you. Let us pray.